under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Each day we face a different issue or multiple issues, but we'll look at the issues through the prism of the Word of God. I've said many, many times, as we look at local, state, national, international, or global events, we need to examine them through the prism of Thus Saith the Word of God. You see, God's Word from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21 is God's progressive revelation of Himself to man. We're looking at, when we look at the Scripture, we see what God has done, what He is doing, and what He shall do. And if God is immutable, and He is, that means He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did yesterday, what He did 1,000 years ago, He still will do today. So let me remind you, as we examine the issues and look at them through the prism of the Word of God, we need to understand the Bible is the final source. It is truth inside and out. When Jesus was speaking to His disciples, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, God's word makes a declaratory statement about His word. Thy word is truth. In Psalm 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, when it seems that the whole world is coming apart, when it seems there's nothing absolute, when it seems that there is no hope for anything that the world has to offer, turn to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the fundamental foundation for life and living. It is the only thing, only resource, the only place that we can go to for hope, help, for comfort, encouragement, and direction in our lives. In fact, in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, I'll give you a little brief nutshell of that. Lean not on thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. That's the promise from God. That's God's word. But most people today, unfortunately, do not adhere to or embrace what is called absolute truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, made this profound statement: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. Not only that, ladies and gentlemen, but the further we drop from the truth, the further we drift from the truth, the further we get from the fundamental foundational values in the Word of God, the greater element of and the possibility of embracing a lie, embracing that which is false, embracing that which is immoral, embracing that which is unbiblical, will become more and more, practice than otherwise. That's what we see happening in America today. That's what we see taking place around the globe. But we're going to talk about that today as we face the issues. We're going to talk about our enemies within. Our enemies within. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation has enemies within. It is not something that we can look at and think, well, maybe that is something that is different or something that will happen later. It's happening today. Let me just give you a little thumbnail sketch. Headline says, State Department employee steals thousands of pages of top secret documents meets with the Chinese officials. A State Department contractor stole thousands of pages of top-secret classified documents and met with Beijing officials. An expert calls the man's name, I'm not doing that, which is an expert on India and South Asian affairs, removed the top-secret documents from secure locations and met with the Chinese officials. The classified documents were located in, calls the man's name, his home in Virginia. During a raid on September the 25th, allegedly printed U.S. Air Force documents concerning military aircraft capabilities. Federal prosecutors allege that he met with the Chinese governmental officials multiple times over the past several years, according to Fox News. The prosecutor said it began in September 2022 when he brought a manila envelope with him when he first met with the Chinese officials in a Virginia restaurant, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just a little sample. That's one of the indications of the enemies within. So let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we have truth that is staring us in the face, and yet multiple people, perhaps some of you listening today, do not believe what is taking place, cannot fathom what is happening, and you reject it altogether. Ladies and gentlemen, a former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Another article states, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I have truth is a whole lie. You can't bifurcate truth and say I have truth. I am alarmed. I'm amazed. When you look at Webster's Dictionary, for example, it says of truth, it's a body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities. And yet we have those today that want to deviate from that and still call it truth. I'm amazed by that, concerned with it. I'm looking at a headline that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. Let me just read you two brief, three or four line sentences. America's institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further in the article, it says, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today and has been for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, a cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. I go to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. John Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast as we face the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After we have a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in with your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. This portion of the day's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? How do I find that? Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of your flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today, our enemies within. Listen, for any war, any conflict, any debate, we must first recognize our opponent or the enemy. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and following. Let me just read those verses for us. It sets the stage for what, how do we, listen, We can talk about the enemy. We can talk about what is happening. But there must be an answer. And I go back to a biblical solution. And that biblical solution is nothing more and nothing less than following the instructions given in God's instruction book. It's called the Bible. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, there's I could teach that for the next two or three hours and still not plummet the depth of what God's Word is telling us there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not wrestling against individuals. It's not Republican wrestling against the Democrats. It's not the Democrats and the Republicans wrestling against the Socialist Marxist Communist Party in America and the focus of the demise of our Constitutional Republic. Although that's how it's played out. That's how we see it. That's how we view it. But ladies and gentlemen, we're wrestling against demonic spirits according to the Word of God. It's the demon spirits, it's the demons that control the minds and the hearts of those that are making decisions today to destroy our Constitutional Republic. AOC, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and I can name a bunch of the others, Pencil Neck, as he is called, Schiff, and Pocahontas Warren. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we see the faces, we see the individuals, but ladies and gentlemen, there's the demonic spirit that is the fundamental, foundational enemy of America and the enemy of any child of God, any Christian, conservative, or patriot in America or around the world. We need to be ready for battle. And ladies and gentlemen, our enemies are out there. Today across America, we witness the moral, ethical, biblical values plummeting in our nation, and our society rapidly sinking into the pits of communism, socialism, Marxism. And we wonder, how did we get to this place? How did Islam get to the point that they're, listen, we'll talk about that today. We touched on it yesterday's broadcast. We'll talk about it even more broadly today. How did we get to the point in America where Islam is now rising up, demanding control, where Islam in city after city in the state of Michigan have the minarets with the loudspeakers where the Islamic prayer in Arabic is taking place five times a day, and the Christians, conservatives, and the patriots have to endure that, listen to that. Listen, you could try that in any city you want to in America, any state you want to in America, and let with a loudspeaker, and five times a day, you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, see if that would be permitted, see if that would be okay, see if that would be allowed by any city ordinance. They would claim in every city that we know of, other than in Michigan, particularly in Dearborn, Michigan, it would be claimed that you are breaking the law by the sound ordinance, being out of kilter with what is viewed as citizens' approval, or where citizens are willing to permit it. But you don't hear anything out of Dearborn, Michigan being against it. And we're finding more and more of that in the state of Texas. We're finding more and more of that in the state of Florida. We've got 181 mosques in the state of Florida with thousands upon thousands of Islamic jihadists that are studying from the Quran. And if they believe the Quran, follow the Quran, obey the Quran, they want to kill every non-Muslim in America and around the globe. Listen, Islam is now rapidly rising up. How did we get to where we are? How did we get to where truth is no longer valued? Where ethics and morals are not viewed as lofty and simply put up to, and must be, we must recognize our enemy's position and not our position as Christians and conservatives. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, very quickly I want to tell you that we have allowed both moral, ethical, and political enemies in because they have been embedded into our nation and society through the political and spiritual avenues. I blame, first of all, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is the failure of the constitutionally elected political leaders. That's the twofold process that we're going to look at in these few moments before us. We look at the enemy within. What caused it? What allowed it? How did it happen? The failure of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. Secondly, the failure of the Constitutional Republic and the constitutionally elected civic leaders we call politicians in America. Let me just dwell on an article briefly, and then we'll open our telephone lines. Headline of the article, when the church refuses to engage in politics, this is what happens. It's one of the great paradoxes of our times. Many conservative pastors courageously preach a biblical worldview from their pulpits, defending life, marriage, religious freedom. Yet when it comes to the political process, they retreat into silence. They will preach about righteousness, but when Christian candidates who share their values ask for help, something as simple as gathering signatures for a local ballot simply are declined. This resistance doesn't just hurt individual candidates. It weakens the church's ability to influence culture. It leaves the field open for those whose values are hostile to our faith. Too many conservative pastors treat the political process as unspiritual, unscriptural, as if God's sovereignty ends at the voting booth. This is more than perplexing. This writer says it's tragic. When pastors avoid this arena, they fail to teach their congregations how to live out their faith in the public square. It's not about partisanship. It's about principle. Pastors should help their people discern candidates who uphold biblical truth, not shrink back from it in fear or dividing the congregation. Division is not caused by truth. It's caused by a refusal to stand for truth. When churches disengage, they unwittingly empower their ideologies, the very ideologies they preach against. Silence in the face of moral decay is not neutrality, it's complicity. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it's a massive article. Let me read one other small portion. We've already seen the cost of silence. Charlie Kirk lost his life engaging the church, calling believers to stand for truth and courage in a time of moral confusion. Dr. Vody Bachman spent the final days of his life warning the church about the dangers of Marxism and the falling away from biblical orthodoxy in both the pulpit and in the public square. These men did not shrink back. They gave everything to awaken the church to its responsibilities. Their voices remind us that faith without action is dead, and that silence in the face of deception is itself a form of apostasy, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you are in a church where the pastor says, we just teach Jesus. We're going to leave the politics to the others. Because you see, after all, ladies and gentlemen, politics, civil government is evil, wicked, dirty, and bad. And Christians ought not to get soiled. Christian ought to remain in their self-righteous tents that is called the church building. And it is not godly to get out and talk about a political candidate. It's simply not godly to say that this is how God would have us to vote. And it's not godly to talk about a socialist, Marxist, democratic candidate that's unworthy of a vote from a Christian conservative or a patriot. That's the mindset today. And ladies and gentlemen, I place the blame directly on the shoulders of pastors in the pulpits across America that is not speaking up. I believe, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the Holocaust could have been totally avoided in Germany had pastors had spine and backbone to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and call evil evil. That didn't happen. Are we witnessing the enemies from within today that will bring America to an implosive position where we will lose our sovereignty as a nation, where we will lose our moral ethical values, where we will lose our religious liberties and freedom of speech in our nation? Are we headed in that direction? What is the potentiality of that? I believe great. We're going to talk about that further. And also we're going to talk about the part that the political agenda plays in the decline of our nation and the fact that we have our enemies within. We have spiritual enemies, moral, ethical enemies. We have political enemies. We have those within that want to tear down and destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have enemies within that want to destroy our constitutional republic. How do we identify them? And once they're identified, what do we do as Christians? How do we respond biblically to what is taking place in our nation? And don't sit there and say that we're okay because Trump's in office. Don't sit there and say that we've elected President Trump and he's doing a great job. And all of that is true. But we cannot place it on his shoulders. We need to understand our responsibility as Christians, as conservatives, and as patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. Like you said, really, these radicals need to be out of here. And I found out not so long ago the cartel is putting a reward, a bounty, on all ICE agents and their families.
Yes. And much of that, by the way, Kenneth, is coming out of Venezuela with Maduro. And right now Maduro is standing up and challenging Trump. And President Trump has been wiping out the pill boats, as I call them, the pot boats, the boats coming across from Venezuela to America to bring fentanyl and other dangerous drugs into our nation that's killing hundreds of thousands, yea, even potentially millions dying in America as a result of that. Maduro was not officially elected. He's a dictator. And as a result of that, he's part of the cartel in Venezuela, and Trump is calling him out. And in fact, as I heard the news this morning, the latest thing is Trump has sent the CIA into Venezuela to try to dethrone Maduro so that it can be made into a form of government that is beneficial to its people. The people did not elect Maduro as their governing body in Venezuela. So you're exactly right. And I'm thankful to see that those steps are taken. But listen, we've got something in America that's more dangerous than pot. We've got something in America that's more dangerous than any drugs. We've got something more dangerous than fentanyl or cocaine or any other drug that may be on the marketplace. We have a lethargy in America where Christians and conservatives are unwilling to stand and speak up and stand up and be victorious in their verbal stand against the enemy that's within. Our Bible said, my Bible says, and it's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And yet we're failing to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. And as a result of that, the church has witnessed the implosion. The church is embracing everything that God's word says is antithetical to righteousness and holiness and godliness in our churches. Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, it deserves our attention, and you're exactly right. We need to recognize that that is what is happening. We've got, by the way, touching on what you said with the bounty being put on the heads of the ICE agents and the border agents, et cetera, et cetera. Much of that is taking place out of the Venezuelan people, the marketplace there from the governmental level. But it's not just that. It's being encouraged. It's being promulgated and, if you please, pushed by the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party. In fact, they're embracing the riots in the streets in L.A. and San Francisco and Chicago and different places across the nation. They are saying no to the help that President Trump is trying to do to clean up our cities and to bring us back to our moral, ethical, value stand. It is the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. We'll talk about that further in a moment. It's not just the problem with apostasy in the church. It's not just the problem with the church embracing that which is unbiblical and immoral. It's the matter that we have put people in office that's undermining the constitutional republic that God has given us that we call the United States of America. So it demands our prayer and our attention, and it demands that we take a stand for truth and not be silent anymore. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, Pastor Youngblood. Thank you. I agree with you 150%. As usual, I like your shows, they're very informative and make your spine straight. I was going to say, when you said that the blame on the pastors, well, first and foremost, they're humans, and there could be parents. And a lot of times, they're not anointed, like yourself, to take the job as a pastor, but they want the free money or benefits or whatever, and they're only going to push their agenda. So I think all humans not just pastors or a certain group of people, that we all have a responsibility of standing up and pushing for stuff like you have mentioned many times. And I have a mom that she'd rather go ahead, well, que sera, sera, you know, and I've encountered a lot of people with that attitude, and it's like, this is why we have the world as we, America as we have it, because you guys don't do nothing.
You're exactly right, Lisa. I mean, Terry, you're exactly correct on that. We have those that is the, how would you say, the laziness, the mindset, just leave it alone, it'll be okay. And going back to the pastors, let me just make a little parenthetical footnote on what you said. The pastors, yes, the pastors are human. We're all human beings. We all have that fallen sin nature. We all have a propensity to sin. That's not the point. The point is that pastors have a moral, ethical, biblical, foundational mandate to stand for truth. And there's not one thing in the Bible that says that a pastor loses his Bill of Rights, or that he loses his moral, ethical responsibility because he's a Christian, because he's a pastor, because he stands in the pulpit. It was the Lyndon Baines Johnson as a senator in 1954 that had a rider put on a transportation bill that gave the authority to the IRS to say that a Christian pastor, a Christian church, could not talk about political issues. It's because Lyndon Baines Johnson hated the Roman Catholics, and under Jack Kennedy as president, he thought that's what was going to take place, that the Catholics would have an overriding power and authority through Catholic dogma. And so as a result of that, the hatred of Roman Catholic Church, he had that transportation bill with a rider on it. And for 50, 60 years, the mindset in America was, their excuse for pastors was, we can't talk about political issues because the law says that we can't. I've got a great word for that. It's called horse feathers. There was never a church prosecuted. There was never a church that was fined or in any way persecuted as a result of talking about political things. The Bible calls it civil government. And from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, God's word talks about his setting up the family and government and the church, and in that order. So anything a Christian pastor talks about in those three categories, which, by the way, covers the entire Bible itself, anything in those three categories we talk about are biblical issues, not political issues. It was a mechanism that the government used to quiet, to quench the voice of the Christian church. And too many years now, Terry, we have seen churches and pastors that have done that. But listen, when it comes to other things, churches and pastors have embraced the sodomite lifestyle. Churches and pastors have embraced the critical race theory. Churches and pastors have embraced the idea that we need to have equal race, creed, and color from the standpoint of morals, ethics, and values, and everything. We have churches today that have sodomite pastors, sodomite leaders, etc., etc., because they've embraced that. They're not afraid to offend the Christian, not afraid to offend God and God's word, but they're afraid somehow that they will offend the congregation if they talk about civil government.
I think they're wusses and they're spineless, that they can't stand up for what is right, stand up for, like you said, morally, ethically, and biblically. They'd rather just take the easy road, and they shouldn't even be a pastor then. They just took the role on just to pick and choose, to do whatever the easy road is.
I second your motion. Listen, Terry, it deserves our recognition. The point being, it deserves our recognition to recognize the enemies within. And the enemies within, not just in the pulpit, not just in the political elected positions, but both. And unless we're careful as Christians and conservatives, it will destroy the constitutional republic that we call America. So, Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our enemies within. We have enemies within America today, both spiritually, morally, ethically, and politically, that's undermining, tearing down, and destroying the Constitutional Republic. We need to be very, very careful and recognize those enemies and put on the whole armor of God, as the Apostle Paul talked about as he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, W.